Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa.
Of New Africa.
Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati, and we will be joined today, as always, by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. Today, we want to start out by shining the spotlight on someone who has been very... I don't want to necessarily say that this individual played a significant role in the liberation for new African people, but I felt that it was kind of fitting that we kind of look back on our brother Muhammad Ali, being that he just passed recently. And the reason why I want to kind of shine a spotlight on this brother today on the show is because the capitalist imperialist society system in which we are up under has a way of colonizing history, taking our great leaders, people who are significant in the struggle for African liberation, and colonizing their image and destroying them and turning them around and using them against us. You hear people in the mainstream media talk about individuals like Brother Malcolm X, and they speak of him as he was beloved and how people loved him, like white folks loved him, and they really distort his image. You know, and even Martin Luther King, you know, the great integrationist, you know, you always hear in the mainstream media about him having this great dream where black boys and black girls can hold hands with white boys and white girls and all of this. But you never hear him talk about criticizing America as this war machine and criticizing the military-industrial complex and some of the other things that he talked about. So that's why we want to talk about Muhammad Ali, because you see in the media today they're kind of, in my opinion, and this is my opinion from my observation, they're not really shedding, you know, talking about all that was Muhammad Ali. So we want to play some clips. We want to highlight some things that you will not hear about Muhammad Ali in the mainstream media. And we're going to do it within his own words. These are some inserts from Muhammad Ali's speeches. Some of the things that he talked about during his lifetime is his struggle against, his struggle really against the United States imperialistic war machine. His title was stripped away from him because he refused to join in the military and fight America's enemy. So this is what we want to talk about. We're gonna hear some Muhammad Ali in his own words, some of the things that you won't hear in the mainstream media. If I can get it to load up. Just bear with me, brothers and sisters.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality, raped and killed my mother and father. Well, I'm going to shoot them for what? How am I going to shoot them? Those little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? I'll just take me to jail.
I'm just saying, you're talking about me about some ground, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not going to help nobody get what my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die now right here fighting you. If I'm going to die, you my enemy. My name is the white people, not Vietnam, Chinese, or Japanese. You my opponent when I want freedom. You my opponent when I want justice. You my opponent when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
It's too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. Ain't I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand, yeah. I do understand. I understand. I think it's sad that this...
It ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics, they want to marry them a Catholic. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You're a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake. No woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people.
And that was Muhammad Ali in his own words. And I wanted to, you know, kind of play that because, like I said, America has a way of colonizing history, you know, to changing it, distorting it, and then using our historical figures against us to in order to promote their particular agenda. And I really wanted to focus on this brother, Muhammad Ali, because he is an individual who had success within this American system. He would be, if we're putting it into political terms, he would be a member of the petty bourgeoisie class because he is an athlete that has, you know, has reached the top of the success in his particular field. He made a lot of money. And typically, the system, under the system of white supremacy, imperialism, capitalism, colonialism, these individuals are used by the system in order to control our people. They pay our talented, and they make them successful. They put them on pedestals in order for them to lead us away from any kind of struggle, any kind of strategy, any kind of organization that will lead to our true liberation. That's why you rarely find successful athletes today who speak up on anything that is political, because they fear the consequences of the system, because that's how behavior is dictated based on consequences. But Muhammad Ali, as you heard, you know, he didn't care. He was someone who had love for his people, and he was willing to lose everything that he had gained, everything that he had earned from being a successful boxer, you know, in order to speak out on what he felt and what he believed in. And on that, for that reason, I would like to honor the late Muhammad Ali, which brings us to our topic for today, because, like we said, this brother was part of a system. This brother was successful within a system that ultimately leads to corruption and destruction within all other systems in society. And this system that we're talking about is capitalism. This is an economic system. And we want to ask the question, is capitalism really an inhumane system of exploitation? Has it done more harm in the world than good? I mean, because we're taught in school that capitalism is synonymous with freedom. In order to have freedom, you must have capitalism. Capitalism is great. You got to have free enterprise. But is it really exploitation? Have we really just been indoctrinated into a system that continues to exploit us and be destructive on the world as a whole? So this is what we want to get into. Now, first, I think we need a working definition. We need to define things properly. So what is capitalism? Capitalism is an economic system in which the means of production, the industry, and all everything up under the industry, plus the distribution of wealth, are all controlled by individuals, private corporations, for the purpose of making maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense and exploitation of everyone else, especially the proletarian. What the proletarian is, that is the working class. Capitalism is a system that's not designed to make sure that everyone has the necessary resources that they need to survive. You have to understand that's clear. That's why in any kind of capitalist country, especially in the United States, which is the biggest capitalist country, you always have crime. You always have poverty. You always have disease. You have all of these negative things that come along with it. And it would be my argument, and not just my argument. Really, it's more of fact than just an opinion of a belief. But the very nature of this capitalism, of this capitalist system, creates those things. So this is what we want to talk about today. Is capitalism a destructive force in the world? Is it an inhumane system that has caused more damage, more harm than good? And I have my brother Kakayi on the line. Brother Kakayi, are you there?
Free land, brother. Yes, I am. I am, I will.
Free land. I am, I will. I am, I will. So what do you think about that, brother? I know you've been listening in. So capitalism, is it really an inhumane system of exploitation? Or is it just like they always tell us in school, it's part of freedom? What are your thoughts, brother?
Well, let's be realistic. The definition of capitalism is exactly how you defined it. You know, it's an economic system. The system that's designed to exploit and oppress the masses of the people, our people. And they've incorporated a lot of techniques to perpetuate the idea that it's a system that's synonymous with freedom. But in actuality, they've applied a technique called livestock management to better control the humans within that system. And to explain livestock management, you have human beings in that equation as livestock. And in order to manage that livestock that has a conscious mindset, you have to give the appearance that success is possible. So every so often, they will allow one animal, one piece of the livestock, to settle on the other side of the fence. So all the oppressed and exploited livestock within the fence can see that somebody did it and was able to make it, and it provides them with hopes, dreams, and aspirations that they can make it too. But the reality of the situation is that the majority of the livestock is behind the fence being oppressed and exploited, and you just are hoping and dreaming that you can one day succeed in this system. And that's a part of the psychological warfare that they have placed on our people. And when our people forget the definition of capitalism, you forget the evils and the deceit and the exploitation and oppression that you're going through. It's just, it's obvious. We have to really recognize what capitalism is all about. It's an elite few that control the resources and the masses of the resources and the wealth in that system in order to exploit and oppress the masses. It's just that simple, Brother Yehua.
Exactly, brother. Well said, well said. And you said something that was extremely important. You said how there are always, you know, individuals within the masses who are allowed to succeed, that are successful. And these individuals are placed out in the front as the leadership of the others, so the others can have something to strive through, and really in order to keep the masses in check and prevent them from rebelling against this system that is constantly exploiting them. And, you know, just to understand, because like we said earlier in the definition, capitalism is based on individuality, on individuals, which if you understand the difference between a European value system and an African value system, you know, this whole concept of just everything about the individual is completely non-African. It's completely opposed to an African value system, because Africans traditionally, historically, have operated as a collective, things that benefit the collective, the whole, over the needs of the individual. But under this system, the needs, not even necessarily the needs, the wants and the desire of the individuals, and these individuals happen to be the ruling elite, supersede the needs of the collective, of the whole, the masses of people. And because of this, corruption is created in just about any aspect. Anything that you put into the system, it ultimately becomes corrupt. If you look at the medical system, it becomes corrupt because the bottom line is to make maximum profit for the rulers of the medical industry, the medical corporation, these drug companies. It doesn't matter if they're putting drugs out that are killing people. You know, right now, the number one killer when it comes to drugs are drugs that are prescribed by doctors. Prescribed drugs kill more people than crack, cocaine, heroin, all of those so-called illegal drugs put together. You know, and you can go to any industry in America and you find the same thing, whether it's the justice system, whether it's the, like I said, the medical system, any system, you find corruption, because ultimately the bottom line, the number one goal, is to gain a maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense and exploitation of everyone else. Look at the food. America has some of the lowest quality food in the world, in the entire world. And the reason why is because it's cheaper to produce foods that have been genetically modified, sprayed with chemicals, pumped with steroids. And it does not matter that these foods are killing our people. People like, look at the prison system. America locks more people up. There are more black people in prison in America than like the next 10, 20 countries combined. Their total population. Why? Because the ultimate goal is to make maximum profit, and the prison industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. So anything, any system, any industry that becomes a part of this capitalist system will ultimately become corrupt. And I have my sister Ayodele on the phone. I know you've been waiting, sister. Ayodele, are you still there?
Yes, Free the Land, brother. Good morning.
Good morning, Free the Land. I am, I will. So what do you think? Is this system of capitalism an inhumane system of exploitation? Or is it like it is, you know, like they tell us in school? Is it just part of freedom?
Well, when you make those statements, we always try to look back on history. We try to analyze to the best of our ability on, well, let's look at this system of capitalism. How was it born? It was born off of exploitation. It was born off of going into other people's lands and taking their lands by force, being sanctioned by a religious system that said it's okay to go out and conquer the world because you have that divine right. And from its inception, it has used third world people, particularly African people, to build its empire. Is it a great system? Well, it built their empire for their specific purposes, to rule, to conquer, to make sure that the system of capitalism, imperialism, rules over every sector of this world. But at the same time, remember, we're working on several levels. Is it wonderful for the people in America and all over the world that have been taken from their land, that have been taken, their spirituality has been taken, culture, language, tongue. And then on top of that, wherever they set their foot, they conquer the indigenous people of the of this land, South America, Central America, North America, to build an empire. Is it wonderful? Is it the home of the free and the land of the brave? Because it, by its very nature, capitalism, especially here in America, you have to go out and conquer a people. You have to exploit the people. You have to exploit the resources. And at the same time, make sure, instill in the people that you have conquered the divine, that they accept that it is our right to rule over you. So is it a good system? You have to look at it. You have to look at it and analyze it from an African perspective. Has it been good for the African? Has the African come from a true enslavement, chattel slavery, and we are now free in this home of the free, land of the brave? As you said, brother, most of the people in prison are in jail. Most of the laws, Jim Crow laws, the very laws that set the foundation of codes of behavior in this land is designed to always aggress against the African who built the empire, by the way. The African must be subdued on all levels, whether it's spiritually, economically, through the music, through the art, through the language. They must, because once the African understands how this capitalist system came into being, and that, we were the builders of this empire, and yet we have been mentally, I would say, changed because of an educational system that has promoted white supremacy and their right to rule, and that they rule under a Western culture, when everything that they have, everything that they are, everything that they profess to be, was built off an African mind, an African religious system, an African genesis, a beginning. So for me, they are out of order. Capitalism is built on all of that, and it has to be perpetuated on all levels. So when the African begins to think, when we begin to think as with an African mind, a mindset based on history, based on material conditions, based on how are we living our lives. Yes, we do have some people who have so-called made it, but they have made it within a capitalist system. We're not talking about capitalism. We're talking about showing our people that through our African mindset, that there's a better way to live, a more humane way to live, a more socialist way to live, and our children will be happy, our elders will be protected, they will be healthy. We will still have food, clothing, shelter, and water, but not under a system of exploitation. Capitalism exploits. It doesn't build us up. Can anybody here in our listening audience say this is truly the land of milk and honey? This is not. This is not the land of milk and honey. This is a land where we are constantly under attack. The very nature of every system that we step into is built on exploitation and to make the black man feel as if they are less than what they have been. And I say again, you never forget that we built this empire, our labor, for 300 years. Jim Crow laws, all civil rights laws, they're all designed to make sure, yeah, we're going to give you a little bit. Look at that prize, but you're never going to attain the prize, not as a whole nation, as a race. Individuals, yes. And at the same time, exploit our gifts. We have brilliant minds, brilliant concepts. We've built cities before and have been aggressed upon. Is that a sign that capitalism allows you to be free? We're not free.
Exactly, sister. That was you said a whole lot there. And one thing that I want to expand on is you said something extremely important. You talked about looking at things from an African perspective, and that's something that we have to do. We have to look at things from an African perspective, because one of the most destructive things that really, you know, plagues our community is you have African people, new African people here in America with a European philosophy, with European ideology, with European mindsets. And understand, all of those things, those European mindsets and way of thinking is designed to benefit the European, not African people. So when we look at these things like capitalism and other things from a European mindset, from a European point of view, we help to perpetuate our own destruction and our own exploitation. So well said. So, I want to get to my sister Sa'anksa before we get out of here because time is flying. Sister Sa, are you there? Sa'anksa.
Yes, free the land.
Sister Sa'anksa.
Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think on the subject that we've been talking about?
Well, most definitely, this is not, this system, within this system, is not the land of the free. This system was based, the very fabric of the system is based upon slavery and exploitation and the haves and the have-nots. That's not freedom. So, within a European perspective, that may be freedom. But within the African perspective, that is not freedom. If I say I'm free, that means everybody is free. It's an I and I concept, the I concept, the we concept. I and we is the same thing within an African perspective. So let's take a look at society that we live in. Most people here, okay, having a good job is that pays a particular amount per year is considered, okay, I'm doing well. Or a business owner that makes millions of dollars a year, I'm doing well. But at whose expense? It's always somebody at the other end that does not have, because this I have or this person has. So that's not freedom. That's not an African perspective. That's not an African way of thinking. Then an African perspective or a socialist perspective, which that's what we're striving for, everybody has.
Exactly.
All the resources
exactly.
are shared amongst. So, within this society, no.
Well, all right, well said.
This
so,
not,
well said. And, of course, and you know, before we get out of here, you know, we don't want to just talk about problems. We want to talk about solutions. So, you know, the question that I want to, you know, ask, because basically there are two ways in which the wealth is distributed in America today, and that is capitalism and socialism. So is socialism, and specifically in our case, we will be talking about scientific socialism as advocated by Kwame Nkrumah. Is that a better option? And let's give a working for our audience. Let's give a working definition of socialism. Socialism is the economic system in which the means of production, the industry, the distribution of wealth, and everything that comes along with that are controlled by the state on the benefit of community. And ultimately, the goal is complete community control. And the purpose is to provide the needs for the entire community to make sure that everyone has the resources and what you need in order to survive. So it's the exact opposite of capitalism. So in brief, so hypothetically, if we were to gain our independence because we promote nationhood strongly on this show, if we were to gain our independence, should we be setting up a socialist system, or should we maintain with you know the same thing? Should we set up the same capitalist system in America, except you know run it you know as African people, be black capitalists as they call it? Brother Kikaye, are you there?
Yes,
brother
Kikaye, brother.
I am. I will.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
so what do you think? This is kind of the summation.
Well, to sum it up, is basically capitalism has run its course. We've become conscious citizens of the Republic of New Africa, and we recognize that this system is not designed for the masses of the people. And we have to recognize that in the sense of the United States of America, they have been on a worldwide assault on any country that could begin to show us examples of successful systems of scientific socialism. So we have to decide as a people, when we begin to develop our nation, that number one, we to change out of that system completely, or else we'll find our nation under the same exploitive, oppressive conditions that we're in today. And we have to begin to formulate ideas and concepts that will be outside of the box. The best way to do that is go by some of the examples of scientific socialism that have been successful, even with the intervention of the imperial governments in this world today. And so it's just natural for us to try another system. And if it doesn't work, then we will try another system. But we know that capitalism has run its course, and we know that socialism has examples of successful countries. And this is why we need to maintain this idea that scientific socialism is the system in which we will embark upon when we separate and begin to have our own nation, and that's the Republic of New Africa. Free land, brother.
Well said. Free land, I am, I will. Well said. I'm going to go to my sister, Sa Unks. Are you still there, sister? Sister Sa. Sister Sa Unks, are you still there?
Free land.
Free land, I am, I will. In summation, so, you know, just your summarizing thoughts on the entire subject of today.
Well, we as an African people, our black people here living in the Americas and all over the diaspora, we have to really, 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 really change our mindsets. First of all, re-educate ourselves from an African perspective so that we, while we're in the process of building our own nation, our own socialist nation where everybody has, there is no differentiation between the have and the have-nots. While we're in the process of doing that, we are re-educating ourselves so that we will not recreate the same system of capitalism and exploitation. We have to get rid of our European mindset. We have to get rid of our European ways of living because it is to our demise. It's killing us every single day. And so for us to live and for our children's children's children to have a better life in a more humane society, we have to do the work.
No doubt. No doubt. Definitely. And Mama Ayo, I'm going to give you the last word on this one. So what do you think, in summation, right, on this whole thing?
Well, I think as I heard one of our leaders say, this is the time of the new Africans' rise, if I can be a little liberal with his statement. And I believe that our people will have to study. They'll have to teach one another. They'll have to, nobody's going to teach us African values but ourselves. So we have to understand what those African values are going to be. We have to understand what a community-minded nation and world will be. We'll have to make sure that all of us have to look at each other with love and light, understand at the end of the day, who is the person that has put us in this condition? What is the system? What does that system look like? Our people are constantly 24/7 under attack, musically, culturally, spiritually, educationally. And little by little, we have to make conscious, as we call ourselves, conscious decisions to step outside of that box and put yourself in an African mindset. And I'm not just talking about those of us that live here in America, because we are neo-colonialized all over the world. As long as there's an African, he's being neo-colonialized. As a matter of fact, the whole entire world, when you include Asia, Africa, India, the peoples of the world have to understand what capitalism and imperialism has done, and to look at a socialist framework, because a socialist framework is an African framework. It comes from the historical conditions that our people came through to understand that we have to build our world better. We have to live and treat the earth in a more humane manner. We don't have to oppress the very nature of the earth by coming up with things that we don't need that have ultimately turned against us because we have more cancer, diabetes. We have more high blood pressure, heart disease. Our males have impotency issues, infertility issues, fibroid tumors, and it's all mental illnesses based on a capitalist system that we have incorporated into our lives, and it's not working, not for us. So what is going to work? By us building our own, using those principles of the Nguza Saba that our elders set down, look at the plans that have already been developed for the redemption of a race under scientific socialism, brother. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. Well said, and we're almost out of time. In closing, I will say this. It's obvious, not only just from the conversation that we've had on this show, but the condition of the world, what's going on globally, because capitalism is the global economic system. It's obvious that this system is outdated. It's obvious that this system is inhumane. It's obvious that this system is destructive on a global scale. It's obvious that we can do better and that we should do better. It's imperative that we do better, that we create a better system, one that serves humanity. The problem is the individuals who control the current system of capitalism and benefit from the current system of capitalism also basically control the entire world and all of the systems within. So in order for us to create a better future for humanity, for our children and our children's children, and so on, then we are going to have to, you know, make some serious decisions, because those individuals have to be removed from power. And the first law of nature is self-preservation. Nothing gives up its life easily. So for the future to be secured for our children, revolution is necessary. This is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yayra Amati. You've been listening to Voices of New Africa. Join us again next week as we continue to have conversations on topics that are instrumental to the liberation and the independence movement of New African people. Free the land.
Free the land, brother.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens. Except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa.
Of New Africa.
Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means.